Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
You know you did, Damon.
So glad you're with us. It's a Trash Tuesday today. The holidays are here. Mere hours away from Thanksgiving, extended family, gorging yourself on calories, watching copious amounts of football. There's got to be something bugging you right about now. So hit me up on the phones with your trashes. I'm going to put you on the air. Allow you to vent for the country to hear at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, hit us up, DA on CBS. That's an easy way to get your trashes in, DA on CBS. Speaking of Thanksgiving, what is the most memorable Thanksgiving Day game in NFL history? Scratch your head. Think about this for a moment. My guess is one of your choices, one of the games that have popped into your head, is the Leon Lett Snow Angel Snow Game in Dallas, Dolphins and Cowboys back in the 90s. Well, the kicker for the Dolphins that day, Pete Stojanovic, is going to join us this morning here on the show. Stojanovic, an excellent kicker during the latter half of Dan Marino's career in Miami. We'll have him for Turkey Day memories coming up on the show in hour number four.
All right.
Also this morning on the show in 20 minutes, your best audio of the day. We've got your sound check coming up. That includes Jim Irsay having no idea how the song We Will Rock You goes. In 40 minutes, the USFL is back. In an hour from now, Baker Mayfield, it's a no-talky, shushy situation for Baker, and he broke it. We'll do our trashes next hour as well. One youth football team is so dominant, they've banned them from the playoffs in Texas. The Saints spend more cash on Taysom Hill. The least likely NFL coach is dating a supermodel. The college football coaching carousel continues to spin. We'll rank the openings. And as I mentioned before, a full-on day of Trash Tuesday.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
So we have got it all this morning here on the program, and we'll begin last night in Tampa Bay. Monday Night Football, the Giants and the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers had lost two consecutive games. This was a long time for Tom Brady to be without a W. And in terms of three-game losing streaks, you won't even believe the last time Tom Brady lost three consecutive games. If your guess was never, not a bad guess. But actually, it has happened once in his NFL career. Back in 2002, the Patriots were the defending Super Bowl champions and then collapsed out of the playoffs that year. And in 2002, the last time Tom Brady lost three straight games. So you wouldn't expect it to happen again last night against the putrid New York Giants team. The Buccaneers took care of things, winning going away 30-10. Of course, beating the Giants in prime time is not some type of benchmark for the Buccaneers. They've got designs on another Vince Lombardi trophy. The question is, how did it look so easy for the Buccaneers? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Play fake. Jones rolls to his right and trying to throw it back to Barkley. And he throws it left and he throws it right to the defender for the interception.
Fans buy tickets. Whatever they want to say in the stands, they've bought that right to do that. Fans support us. Fans watch us at home. Okay? They root for us. They pull for us. We appreciate that. It's our job to give them something to be proud of.
Five in the secondary. Shotgun snap to Brady. Cox his right arm. Throws a line drive laser in the end zone. Caught chest high. Touchdown. A yard deep in the middle. Evans got the ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
I mean, I think everyone's got to do what they're asked to do and do it on a consistent basis. And, you know, some guys are there to play every snap, you know. Some guys are different role players. Some guys play on special teams. But every job's important. That's the thing about football is there's not one position that's unimportant, and everyone's got to be coordinated. Everyone's got to do the right thing on every player or the play's not successful.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Kevin Harlan, Westwood One on your play-by-play calls. That was Joe Judge early in that montage talking about fans booing. Let's start with the macro here. For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, remember last year they were able to play that Super Bowl at home, but went on the road wild card weekend, had to win, or I should say played wild card weekend, had to win three consecutive games of the playoffs just to get there, and divisional round and NFC championship game were both on the road. This year, the Buccaneers are hunting down that one seed. The Cardinals are 9-2. The Packers are 8-3. The Buccaneers are 7-3. Right now, the Bucs would win the tiebreaker over the Cowboys based on head-to-head win percentage, of course. So when you look at the NFC playoff standings, this was important for the Buccaneers to remain in the hunt for that number one seed in the NFC. They beat the Cowboys opening night, remember, and so they'll hold that tiebreaker. So that's the macro here. Buccaneers just needed a win to remain in that conversation for the one seed. A 9-2 Cardinals team, an 8-3 Packers team. You didn't want to drop to 6-4 last night. They didn't. Also, getting Gronk back clearly helped out Tom Brady. Gronk caught six passes for 71 yards. He also was solid in the blocking game, solid in the ground game in terms of blocking. And so getting Gronk back, your full complement of players, AB out, but really didn't matter last night. Also, Tom Brady spreading the football around, as Brady is so good at doing. Mike Evans, six catches. Gronk, six catches. Godwin, six catches. Leonard Fournette, six catches out of the backfield. Brate had a pair of passes. Perriman had a pair of passes. And then O.J. Howard, Tyler Johnson, Giovanni Bernard all had one catch as well. So there is Tom Brady spreading 32 completions around to like half the roster. It's an amazing thing that he is able to do, and it is where Tom Brady is in his career, where he does not care about style points. It's about just simply hitting the open man It's not about going downfield and creating huge plays. It's about moving the chains. They did so last night. It did so easily against the Giants. And so that's all the good stuff about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I thought that, by and large, the Buccaneers, led by Brady, understood we jump out to a lead in this game. We don't give the Giants much breathing room, and they'll fold. That opening drive, they went right down the field, 8 plays, 73 yards, capped off by the touchdown to Godwin, puts them up 7-0. And then really the only reason the Giants are in this game is because of that interception that puts them on the short field of the red zone, where the Giants get just a couple of yards, but they get the touchdown into the end zone on that big man TD to Andrew Thomas. And then the Bucs score before the half, 5 minutes to play, puts them up 17-10. They really never look back. As soon as they score in that third quarter, the Mike Evans touchdown, it's game, set, match, 24-10. Giants are never going to even sniff from there on out. That's the Buccaneer side of things. I mean, beating the Giants, it's like, who cares? From a Giants standpoint, this is a far more telling and damning night. If you are a pained, punished New York Giants fan, and you had this game circled on the schedule, and you knew that you had a chance outside, as it were, but still a chance to make the playoffs, there had to have been a better effort and a better chance at pulling off an upset. You just saw and witnessed the Houston Texans, a terrible football team, go to Tennessee and play inspired football. You saw the Jacksonville Jaguars host the Buffalo Bills and actually come away with a victory. You have seen upsets this season. And here are the New York Giants going to Tampa, not only wilting, but barely making it into scoring position the entire night. Had there not been that INT, and let's face it, a gadget play to get to an offensive lineman at a touchdown, the Giants would have been held to 3 points. Three. On a night Saquon Barkley came back. On a night that you had your full complement of players. Last night is actually, in a strange way, more about the Giants than it is the Buccaneers. Because the Buccaneers are supposed to do that. And unfortunately, the Giants are supposed to do that as well. It leaves a Giants fan looking at that saying, what's the plan? What am I watching? Why are we doing this? What is the end goal? Daniel Jones, after all of these games and all of these seasons, the defenders will keep saying, needs an offensive line, needs a ground game, needs a wide receiver, needs people healthy. Well, he got them all last night, and it was still terrible. He had everything everybody ever said he never gets, and it was possibly his worst game ever. So what? Saquon Barkley's finally back on the field. Great. What was he? Nothing. Barkley was absolutely awful. 6 carries the entire night. I mean, he was nothing. Nothing. The Giants are what? What are they? Spinning the wheel. Joe Judge. You're allowed to boo us. We like that intensity. We like New York. Well, that's great to say, but you got to win games or at least stay competitive. Look, nobody's asking the Giants to go to Tampa Bay and rout the Buccaneers, but you'd like them to keep it close. You'd like them to actually give an effort where you're like, you know what? This is a team on the come. What are you looking at this season where you would say, you know what? They're in the right direction. Gettleman was a nightmare the day that he was hired. Joe Judge consistently shows an inability to give any consistency to this organization. The players they have signed and drafted are clearly just not good enough. And a night on prime time where the Giants once again are in the spotlight, they look like one of the 5 worst teams of the NFL. Again, if they don't get an interception in the red zone, they scored 3 points last night. 3. I will leave it with a very simple quote from the DA Show's annals. What is you? What is you at all?
You are a machine of death.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I mean, the Giants actually won a game against the Raiders once upon a time, two some odd weeks ago. Then they had a bye, and then they gave you that last night. I feel for you, Mraz, because you're going to be freezing your butt off downstairs outside in nothing but face paint, shirtless, because the Giants are going to miss the playoffs.
It certainly feels that way, but I made that bet fully assuming they'd get their ass kicked in Tampa. It was about the schedule, but how could you have any confidence in beating any of the winnable games when they look like that, and Joe Judge basically all but fires Jason Garrett postgame, which might be coming in a couple hours now as well. So it's just going to be a hideous, probably morning to follow night around the Giants right now.
Do you think that they'll actually pull the trigger and fire Jason Garrett with a month and a half to play?
Well, this is the first time Joe Judge has ever sounded like this postgame when he flat out says, you know, we have to put our players in a better position to win. And then when followed up and asked if he was sure he wanted to empty the gasoline tank on his staff, Joe Judge said, you could put that down. You could write that tonight. I won't debate that point.
Would they fire an OC with six games to play?
Why not? He sucks. The best game the Giants have called play calling wise the last 2 years was when Jason Garrett had COVID and Freddie Kitchens had the play calling. He's terrible. He's absolutely terrible. Saquon Barkley came back. They handed him the ball six times. How is he touched from the hand of God as a Hall of Fame running back? He gets the ball six times, but the week before, Devontae Booker is getting carries like he's Barry Sanders? They got no rhyme or reason. How many more gadget plays are you going to run to Kadarius Toney? I think we understand what happens when you flip him the ball behind. He's going to throw it. I mean, it's so unimaginable. It's disgusting.
Did Steve Levy say last night, when they ran Daniel Jones on a designed keeper on the far side, Steve Levy said, Jason Garrett told us, we're going to have to put Daniel Jones in harm's way. And then Greasy said something like, well, I don't know if he quite said it that way, but it was along the lines of, we've got to get him. We've got to put him on the ground. We've got to right, make sure Daniel Jones runs the football to win. And so thus we put him in harm's way. And I was like, that is the weirdest way to put phrasing running the quarterback.
Yeah, and again, if Garrett said that, he sounds like an idiot, but Levy also thought Chris Godwin was Chris Goodwin all night. So,
multiple times.
I mean, how could I honestly take anything he said last night at face value?
Also said a field goal, which was 10 and a half yards short of the goal line, was a doink.
Yeah.
That was
yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
And also mentioned that Kenny Golladay last week did nothing. Well, none of the Giants did because they were on their bye. So, fun broadcast to go to blowout.
So you did not go over to Manningcast?
No, I went to very briefly. I caught a little of Parcells. The problem with Manningcast to keep running into is if it's your favorite team playing, you miss so much of the play-to-play because it basically feels like you're doing a football version of The View now with all the interviews.
Totally. And not for nothing, but Parcells was pretty brutal last night.
Yeah.
Not only is he older right now, but the audio delays on that broadcast, when you are older and you're deferring to the hosts, which is what Parcells was doing, is unwatchable because you're waiting for him to say something. The action's going on. He's watching the action. And he's waiting for Peyton or Eli to set him up, and they're waiting to not step on him because, of course, they don't want to cut him off from something. So there's excruciating delays between everything everybody says.
It's brutal. They got to find a plan here. I think the Manningcast works in general, but if they're going to go out of their way for interviews, they need to have guys on who are in sync, already have the chemistry. They know they're going to come in and out of this. And you also don't need to force feed one a quarter. I'm going to the Manningcast because I want to hear these two break down the bozo coaching that Joe Judge is doing and what's going on, what quarterbacks are seeing. I could see and hear interviews about football all week long on TV and radio. Give me the game when I want to watch the game.
I don't know for the life of me why a monster, technologically savvy, wealthy corporation that's done sports television really well for decades can't figure out the audio on this thing. Peyton and Eli are great. They're great. And their guests are good guests. But the fact that the three people on the screen have to wait on this excruciating delay is bizarre. Like, the three of us are sitting in this studio right now, and there is no delay. Now, granted, we're all in the same spot, but when we do our home broadcast or whatever, there's no delay either. We are all talking in real time. Nobody's waiting to see what everybody else says. I don't know if they're all on Zoom and that's why the delay is happening, but if that's the case, get them hardwired like every other broadcast ever does. Like, this happens a million. When you watch SportsCenter and Scott Van Pelt is hosting, and they have Greasy and Riddick from the site, those guys aren't all in the same spot, and there's not a wait and a delay, and I don't want to step on you. Like, they're just talking. I can't understand for the life of me how we're now into November, they haven't ironed out the audio problem.
Yeah, and I get the drift that the Manning cast is not exactly me trying to figure out this show. Like, I don't think they hammered out Condoleezza Rice in the third quarter 5 minutes before. My guess is you've had this set for quite a few days where you can figure out a hardwired situation. Your ESPN, get it to them. We're going to do this. Do it right.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why there would be these types of technical delays.
Don't do it if it's a technical delay.
But this is every guest.
Yeah.
This is every single guest. So I guess what they're doing is they're allowing the guest to join via Zoom, knowing that that's the easiest fix for the guest. So they're not asking Kevin Hart or they're not asking Bill Parcells or whoever to get to a studio to do it. But you've got to get to that person's house and install. And it doesn't even have to be a permanent installation. Like, we all know in this business, there's just boxes you can plug into your internet that will immediately make that delay go away. I don't understand why they're not doing it. I have no idea why this is happening, but it's a real sin because not only does Eli and Peyton step on one another, but when they have a guest, it's really hard to watch and you want to hear the guest. Like, last night, I'm thinking, man, getting Peyton and Eli to talk to Bill Parcells during a Giants game is great. This is a great concept. But I stuck with it for like maybe 5 to 7 minutes. And I'm going, I can't listen to this because they're not getting anything out of him. He's not really that engaged. And they're just waiting. There's so much dead time that it's uncomfortable.
And then next thing you know, you have no idea what happened in a drive in the game. No right. idea by the time that's all over. It's infuriating.
They should probably run graphics during the Manning cast to tell you the first and 10, the second and 6, what have you, so that even if you can't hear them, it's kind of obvious on the screen in some big font right. and big graphics what is going
and
on.
And even like a last play, you know, whatever, Barkley rush 3 yards, yeah, something yeah, like yeah. that. Yeah, I think that exactly. would make more sense.
It's weird. It's a really good concept, but they haven't ironed out the problems that they've had for 2 months now, 2.5 months, so it's kind of bizarre. When we come back on the show, your best audio of the day, Jim Irsay attempts We Will Rock You and fails, and a CBS Sports Radio host takes a run at Zach Gelb. It's coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio each and every morning. Have us on around the house as you get ready for your day. We're here weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, and Sunday morning football, 10 until noon Eastern Time. So have us on around the house mornings by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Here's Wizards guard Spencer Dinwiddie discussing his love of food and wine with the assembled media.
Food, I do not spare expense. That's where I spend my money, food. So y'all want to go out to eat? Yeah, Lululemon in the closet, Wagyu in the fridge.
How about Japanese food?
Hey, listen, bro, we can hit Nobu if you want to. What you want to do out in L.A.? I was so hurt when they closed Roku Sunset. Oh, my God. So much better than Benihana. Y'all have no idea, but it's okay. Hey, listen. We should all go out to dinner at some point in time. I like wine too. Hey, it's on me. Hey, listen, it's on me. Hey, I'll take, really? All right, boss, listen. Hey, wine during season, tequila in the off season. Hey, stay thirsty, my friends.
Spencer Dinwiddie just won my heart. Now that's a man after my own tastes. I'm not a huge wine guy, but I just like a guy or anybody, man or woman, who's that passionate about food and about drinking. That's just somebody I can really relate to. Now, he's definitely he's out of my zip code when he's talking about Nobu and fancy restaurants in Los Angeles that closed down, etc. Not my zip code. But just the fact, Mraz, that this is a guy that off the top of his head has his go-to restaurants, where he wants to go, the food that he loves, and also the structure of wine in season, tequila out of season, has it all straight away, knows exactly what his game plan is to eat and drink. That person is on my team.
Oh, total great game plan. And also, how about this? Being nice and being able to talk about real life with the media instead of always being snippy, that's right. A big win.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like there, little unfair run he took at Benihana there. I didn't like that.
You didn't.
And now, look, I get it. There are places better than Benihana, and the place that you loved in L.A. closed down, but you don't have to go out of your way to say how much better it is than Benihana. What did Benihana do to you?
You actually would be a perfect Benihana spokesman because you're the everyman. You're easily entertained. And when you go to a Benihana and they do the volcano fried rice and they do the beaten heart.
Of course.
And the egg and the
egg in the hat. Right.
The egg in the hat, the shrimp into your mouth.
Right. The sake with the guy who pee-pees out and that gets in your mouth.
Yep, the pee-pee sake.
I am fat.
That's right up your alley. And you're probably, and I say this as a compliment, you're probably the guy that people want to be sat next to at a Benihana because oftentimes you sit next to people you don't want to sit next to, but if somebody's there to kind of help the show along.
Oh, no doubt. I'm the hype man for the cook. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You're kind of like safely entertaining because sometimes you might get the guy that's too into it and you're like, okay, chill out. But I feel like, you know, you have a way about you where as an everyman, you've got a big personality, but like nobody's going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm sitting next to this goon.
Oh, I'm quite the crevice. I agree, DA. I have made people's birthday parties at Hibachi very special before.
Really?
I am like Flipper when they throw the shrimp. I catch it in the mouth, no problem. I snag it out of there like I'm jumping out of the sea.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. But that's what I'm just talking about. Benihana rocks. I mean, to take a shot at Benihana is so different. You know, why can't two Hibachi places be great?
Spencer Dinwiddie. We love you, but step off on Benihana. Don't go there. Here is Jim Irsay, Colts owner. Now, HBO's Hard Knocks is doing In Season with the Colts. And after a win, he wants to fire up the locker room and have them sing along with him, "We Will Rock You." But listen to as he pounds his fist on the table and then begins the chant, how off tone he is.
Well, I say we end with this. You guys can follow me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hold on.
Like, how does, first of all, a bunch of guys born in the late 90s and early 2000s feel about chanting, "We Will Rock You"?
Ursa's like, "I popped in jock jams. Follow along here."
Thanks, Jim, for that really up-to-date cultural reference as we chant, "We Will Rock You" in the locker room.
Hold on.
Number two, it's a clap, clap, stomp. Clap, clap, stomp. Clap, clap, stomp. It's not a pound the fist and then wait to pound the fist again. That's not how this goes.
Nor can you say if you can follow along with me. Follow along what?
No. It's Sorry. Not. No. This isn't it. That's not "We Will Rock You." It's clap, clap, stomp. Clap, clap, stomp. That's three beats. Three beats in between, so these are three beat sequence, not a one beat sequence. That's not "We Will Rock You." No, no matter how many times you do that, that's not the beat. So you've got a bunch of 23-year-olds and 25-year-olds who haven't ever sang "We Will Rock You." Okay, none of them are ever like, "Oh yeah, you know, what gets me really pumped up before the game? I listen to Drake and 'We Will Rock You.'"
Yes, sir.
You know what I really get fired up with before the game?
The "Yes, sir" in the background. "No, yes, sir."
Hold
up. "Yes, sir."
"Yes, sir."
"Yes, sir." Hold up.
"My check's gonna clear, right, sir? If I do this, you won't cut me, right, sir?
Hold up.
I'll get extended in the offseason, sir?"
"Yes, sir."
Just a bunch of young dudes that look at this old, decrepit, weirdo guy, and they're like, "Okay, the rich guy wants to do 'We Will Rock You.' I guess we'll do 'We Will Rock You.' Okay."
Well, I say we end with this. You guys can follow me.
Yeah, follow me here, okay? We all know how to do this one.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hold up.
Now everybody goes, everybody's like, "I don't know. What is this? I don't know. Follow along, guys. I have a bottle in a wild turkey. Okay, I don't know. What are we doing, Jim? What are we doing, boss?" "Oh, that's what you think 'We Will Rock You' is." And finally, on Friday's Writer Than You show, Chris Moore filled in. And I think he was joking about this.
"You know, we're professionals. Chicks dig us. The weekend is coming. Santa Claus is coming. The goose is getting fat. You know, all these things are happening. Turkey. How about Zach Gilb thinking lasagna is a proper Thanksgiving dinner? What is the matter with the younger? You want to know why the older generation doesn't understand you kids today? Point no farther than Zach Gilb. Lasagna for Thanksgiving. What is the matter with that man? What is the matter with him? Of course, tonight's Friday. It means he probably won't work because he doesn't work Fridays because he's too big for the game. You know, he's like 11 years old and he wants Friday nights off. It's not right."
Oh, my. Oh, my. Now, I think that was all in jokey fun, but some of that doesn't feel so jokey fun.
Yeah, that feels like there's some hidden truths behind there where you're going to poke fun, but that feels like Chris has filled in way too many times on a Friday night and can't take it anymore.
By the way, that's the most classic Chris Moore start to any type of thought. "Goose is getting fatter."
"You know, we're professionals. Chicks dig us. The weekend is coming. Santa Claus is coming. The goose is getting fat. You know, all these things are happening.
All these things are happening. They, snow begins falling in the northern climate. Carolers start brushing up on their Christmas carols.
I'm working Friday.
Things are happening. Saint Nick starts making toys in that workshop. The
turkey.
Elves. The elves.
How about Zach Gilb?
The elves begin working overtime. And
Santa Claus is coming.
It's a Friday night. Things are happening. After that, at midnight, it'll begin Saturday morning. And then late Saturday night, it turns into Sunday morning. Things are happening. And baseball, once again, in a labor dispute. And you wonder why they've lost the young generation of fans. Zach Gelb is off. Things are happening.
You know, he's like 11 years old and he wants Friday nights off. It's not right.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is being aired on Hallmark Channel 3 times a day. Things are happening.
Woof, woof.
The gander's getting fat.
Santa Claus is coming. The weekend is coming.
St. Nick is putting on pounds.
Chicks dig us.
Before the holiday. Chicks dig us.
The goose is getting fat.
And you can't hit the quarterback. Things are happening.
Santa Claus is coming.
And taunting is no longer allowed in the NFL. Things are happening.
We're professionals.
Yes, sir.
The goose is getting fatter. St. Nick is making toys. And Jim Irsay doesn't know how to sing. Yes, we will rock. Things are happening. And how about that Zach Gelb? He's 11 years old. He's taking off on Fridays. Things are
11 years old and he wants Friday nights off. It's not right.
Scott Boras wants even more money for his 17th reliever in the rotation.
Things Santa Claus is coming.
Things are happening. Okay. Standing by with our headline this morning.
Woof, woof.
Brad Heller, dessert coordinator. Brad Heller, good morning.
Good morning, DA. We'll start with Monday Night Football. How would the Bucs respond after 2 straight losses? Well, they were just fine.
3 tight ends, first and goal. Gets the snap, spins, hands off to Jones, runs laterally on the 10. Got a block from the guard. He's at the 5, far sideline, inside the pylon. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood won the start of 20 straight points. Bucs beat the Giants at home 30-10. Tom Brady, who hasn't lost 3 in a row since 2002, through 2 touchdown passes, 1 to Mike Evans, the 72nd touchdown for Evans, which passed Mike Allstott for the Bucs franchise record.
I mean, I'm very proud of that accomplishment. Hopefully I can, you know, extend it really far. But you know, I'm very proud. A-Train was an unbelievable player. Just happy to be in the same sentence as him, let alone breaking his record. So it's a blessing.
The Bucs are 7-3, while the Giants, who are coming off their bye, are 3-7. Taysom Hill getting a contract extension with the Saints. 4 years, $40 million, $22.5 million guaranteed. And ESPN says there are incentives if Hill becomes the starting quarterback that could make the deal worth as much as $95 million. LeBron James hit with the first suspension of his 19-year career, 1 game for recklessly hitting the Pistons' Isaiah Stewart. On Sunday in Detroit, Stewart suspended 2 games for, quote, escalating an on-court altercation by repeatedly and aggressively pursuing James. LeBron's going to miss tonight's game with the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. The Suns have won 13 in a row. They topped the Spurs on the road 115-111. They're 14-3. DeAndre Ayton says the streak is nice, but they have bigger goals in mind.
Last year, you know, we know how it feels to get happy on the farm and, you know, to celebrate today. But we're not working for today. You know, we're working for where the big stage is at. And, you know, I'm glad we have a swag and a mentality where, you know, we just winning games working on us.
Elsewhere, Jaren Jackson hit a 3 with just under 6 seconds left. The Grizzlies beat the Jazz 119-118. Rockets have lost 15 in a row. They fell to the Celtics 108-90. Jaylen Brown back from his strained hamstring. He missed 8 games. Scored 19 points. College basketball, number 1 Gonzaga is going to take on number 2 UCLA tonight in Vegas. They both won last night at the Empire Classic. From baseball, the Giants re-signed pitcher Anthony DeSclafani, 3 years and $36 million. They're reportedly close to bringing back Alex Wood as well, 2 years and $10 million. The comeback players of the year, the Orioles' Trey Mancini, who beat colon cancer, and the retiring Buster Posey. D.A.
Thank you, Brad. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul.
Santa Claus is coming. The goose.
Corn cob pipe. Button nose.
Goose is getting fat.
2 eyes made out of coal.
Chicks dig us.
Things are happening here at CBS Sports Radio.
Making lasagna is a proper Thanksgiving dinner.
And Gelba's off again. Chris Moore with you, and we'll be talking about everything we've lost over the last decade as sports fans. Frosty, the snowman, is a fairy tale, they say. When we come back, Bob Nightingale.
He's oddly listed, and you're sounding more like Chris Moore than Chris Moore does, and that's kind of freaky.
Don't give the company ideas.
When we return, who's the best third starter on the market this baseball hot stove season? Bob Nightingale joins us. Frosty was alive as he could be. He was made of snow. But the children know that he came to life one day. Bob Nightingale would come back.
And that's why we have no college football sound after a weekend.
When we come back, USFL, can it be the one? TA, CBS Sports Radio.
You can touch me, I can touch you. If we can't touch each other, let that be a rule.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Happy Trash Tuesday. Get your trashes in this morning. DA on CBS or on the phone at 855-212-4227. You can always listen to the show in podcast form as well. Check us out. The best of the show or the full 4 hours. Just search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Another hack in the batter's box of spring football. And I don't need to tell you guys, if you guys are loyal listeners to the show, if you guys know any part of us, if you guys are aware of the last couple of seasons of football coverage here, we don't only root for spring football. We are passionate about spring football. Probably more so than is healthy. I mean, we did a weekly highlights round table or recap of the Alliance of American Football, which didn't even last a season. And we put all of our eggs into that basket, all of our energies with music, production, finding highlights, covering the league, and creating nicknames around the league. We love spring football. But after the Alliance died, a part of us died, and then the XFL tried, and that died quickly too in the pandemic. And now the USFL is getting rebranded and owned by Fox, which will have 8 teams, all with city names like New Jersey and Orlando and Michigan and this, that, the other thing. But they're all going to play in Birmingham. So I don't know why exactly there's different city names, unless the idea is start small, limit travel. As we build and grow, they then go to those cities. Is that the bit?
That, I believe, is the bit, yes. That establish them, limit the costs, and allow the league to grow, and then get them placed in their cities.
So the Michigan Panthers will play in Birmingham for the first 3 or 4 seasons, then finally end up in Michigan if the league works.
Well, I was kind of hoping it was only going to be one season before they move, but maybe.
Great call.
I want to say the USFL will be the one that wins. I want to say that spring football can work. I do believe spring football can work, but is this the one that works? I mean, I love the nostalgia of it. I love those team names. I love the logos. I love bringing back what the old league was. But I don't know, Mraz, this feel any more structured or stable or anything than the other ones?
Well, I mean, at least I will give them that they're being different in trying to localize it. And I like the fact that they're trying to channel like people's love of throwbacks with the uniforms. But in the end, we're still going to be complaining about the same crappy quarterback playing the same crappy game. And I don't know that I can put my heart into it again.
I don't even know if it's the talent discrepancy. I mean, I think there's a problem when the XFL is going to want to do a spring football league and the USFL. I mean, right. How many spring football quality guys are there? I think the issue is this one on any better financial standing than the other two? I mean, the Alliance clearly was rocky, but the XFL immediately got sold. And now this one, I mean, how can I believe this one is the one that has the health and the stability to survive what's obviously going to be tough?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.